Hello and welcome to the Arise Ministries podcast. I'm Lisa Da Silva and I'm here with my friend Val Hooks. Val lives in Vancouver, Washington with her husband and her two teenagers. We've known each other for a few years.
Yes.
Val, and I feel though like I didn't really get to know you until, do you know what I'm going to say?
No. Well, we went to Nicaragua.
We went to Nicaragua together.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was there. We're both early birds.
Yes.
Early risers. And we talked about our love for the word.
Yeah.
And our love for women and the word.
Yeah.
And when we started Arise, we invited you to be sort of a mentor in studying the Bible, an editor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit of a writer.
You're a little bit of a writer.
I kind of poke in every once in a while.
Yeah.
Do something.
And so Val served as the initiator and the primary editor of our Desert Experience series on our blog this month. And it's getting really great feedback. We hear that people are reading, and so we're excited to have you here to talk about that with us
today. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So we're going to be talking with Val about what it looks like, what it feels like to walk through a spiritual desert, to have that experience. So Val, take us back for a minute to your initial thoughts about these posts, your idea for them, why you even approached us with the idea, what was going on in your mind and in your heart.
Well, I was reflecting on a conversation that you and I had had in one of our walks together about just where we had been at spiritually, the spiritual dryness that we had sometimes come across in our own lives. I thought, you know, there's more of us out there. There's like we all struggle in our Christian walk, and we need to be encouraged that we're not alone, because most oftentimes when we get into those spiritual deserts, we feel like we're an island. And we have a very big tendency in the church sometimes to sweep those things under the rug, right? We come to church and everyone's like, "How are you?" And I'm fine. I'm good. The Lord is good, right? and we don't often share those moments where we're like, "No, I'm not okay. I'm struggling today."
And what does that mean to you when you say a spiritual desert or we're in a desert experience? What does that mean to you?
I think that it means a variety of things. I've gone through a variety of times in my life that have come in a variety of different ways, just struggling to connect with God, struggling to connect with my fellow Christians, struggling to connect with my family, my husband. Just feeling isolated, depressed, sad, lonely. It just comes at us in different times and different spaces over our walk, right? Over our lives. And so I think that
a dryness.
It's just this soul where you almost feel like there's this darkness that's just kind of creeped in on the edges of your life, and you just don't know how to walk through it anymore.
And we're so glad that you did reach out and share that you wanted to write about this and invite other people to write about their experiences. You did share on the blog about how you've handled some of these desert or wilderness experiences in the past. Can you walk us through how you handle them now? What's changed? What kind of encouragement can you offer our listeners?
Well, I mean, I think I handle them in some of the same ways because I'm human, right? I get sad and I cry and I, you know, rail quietly in my bedroom, you know, at God and say, "Why is not fair?" But I think that there are probably more times that I'm getting better at not letting resentment and anger well up and become the main emotion that drives me. We all get sucked in that black hole that just really sometimes overwhelms us. Mm. And I've learned that during these times in our desert wanderings, they don't last.
Mm.
You know, I've had enough of them now that I know that when I'm in them, I know that there's an end. There's an end to it, and there's hope at the end. And I also know that God is faithful.
Hmm.
God is really faithful through those times. And even when I don't feel like he's there, that's my emotional state. That's not God's emotional state. I know that he's really faithful to bring me through it, and I don't have to bootstrap my way through it. Which,
so you let yourself be sad.
Yeah. You know, I let myself maybe be a little bit more vulnerable with some people. It's still hard. It's not easy to say that. And, you know, I don't want to dump on people either, but I let people in and, I engage with the word. And I've found that there are times when my life is really going well, that I actually long for the desert, because those are the times that I feel the sweetest closeness to God, because I'm seeking him out. When I'm not, right. When things are going well, I'm all me, right? I'm all in my own head doing my own thing, going, wow, things are going really great. But when things are going bad, or when things are just, when I'm just emotionally struggling in my emotional state, I have to go, God, you have to take me through this, mm-hmm. because I can't change myself.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can change me.
I love that, Val. I love that wisdom that there is an end. And so because of that, there is that hope.
Yeah.
And also what you said about God being faithful, that even if you don't feel him, if you don't see him, if you're not experiencing him, your maturity going through some of these cycles before, your dedication to the word, knowing that there is an end, help you have some hope.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's encouraging to people. I remember these walks, you and I, sharing that and just knowing there is a hope and believing that other women need to know that too.
Yeah.
And we've all experienced different personal deserts, wildernesses. We struggle differently based on our personality, our family, our life experiences, our situations. On the blog in this series, Leanne wrote about loneliness and so desperately wanting to feel known. And Erin wrote about parenting, the reality of how her unique family led her to a place of searching and growth. And I hope that you can share a little about what has been a desert experience for you. What did it look like? What did it feel like? And what's it like now that you've come out of that one or on the other side?
Mm-hmm. You know, my deserts have been varied over my life. But I think probably the first desert that I remember, other than adolescence, which
is a desert
all in and of itself, is when I was about 21, my brother committed suicide. And that was a huge moment in my life. It really rocked my world. I really didn't know kind of what to do with that. And it was such a senseless and lonely death. And I really wrestled with it. I cried out to God a lot and I asked him why he allowed that. But I also dug into scripture. And I really needed to know who this God was that was in my life. Like, up to that point, I had made my parents' faith my own. It was their faith. It wasn't mine. And at this point in my life, I really was like, okay, I got to know this God. If this is a thing, if my brother's dead, if he is in heaven with this God, I got to know this God. That desert really just sent me farther into my journey with God. And each one does that. Each desert that I go through just pushes me farther into that desert with God, because I want to know the God who knows me.
I want to know the God that knows me.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I wish we had other women just sitting on this couch with us. If you could see, both Val and I are getting teary because we know that we will feel betrayed in life. We will feel lonely in life.
Yes.
You know, if women haven't experienced the desert yet, it hurts us to say that you will at some point, but there will be a desert experience. And so, Val, to hear the pain that you've suffered in the death of your brother, but to know you as a friend and a mentor in many ways now, to hear that you cling to the word and that it doesn't necessarily make it easier.
No.
But you know
the
God who knows you.
Yeah.
I know you are someone who always takes root in the word. During dry times now, you did it when you were 21.
Mm-hmm.
You do it now. And Ruth is a particular book that you have gone to in the past, that mm-hmm. you go to now. And tell us a little bit about why. What has the journey of Naomi and Ruth taught you? How can we see these two women as examples during our desert experiences?
I really take great comfort in Ruth and the Psalms. These are two places that they say what I want to say to God in those hurt times. It's raw. It's really raw. And Naomi, especially, she's such a raw woman. She just kind of says what her bitterness is. Mm-hmm. She reaches out and just makes that statement. But yet there's this beautiful thing that God does in that book, and he provides Ruth for her.
Mm-hmm.
I love that the God of the Bible doesn't turn away from our pain and sorrow, that he provides comfort, not only in his own word, but he also provides comfort in other people.
Mm.
And he provided comfort for Naomi in Ruth. And even though Ruth was going through such a painful time of her own, she lost her husband. She was walking away from her country, mm-hmm. her people. She was going to be a stranger in a strange land. And she was going to be a widow. You know, there was all these things that were swirling around her, yet she loved well in the midst of her own pain.
Mm.
I really resonate with that. It's a beautiful picture of how our Savior knows us and how he has experienced all the same things, the betrayal and the rejection. And I have a God who knows me. I can take comfort in knowing that I have a God who knows my pain,
mm-hmm.
Because he's experienced the exact same thing, and he can walk with me in
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
In all of that, there's just this hope that's really concrete.
There is. And it's such a subtle story of God's faithfulness. And yet, I love that word you use, the rawness, because Naomi changed her name.
Yeah, yeah.
She changed her name to Mara, to bitterness.
Yeah.
It's such a poignant, subtle story because at the end we see that Ruth ends up being in the lineage of Christ, right? Through her faithfulness, even in a very literal desert.
Yeah.
Following her mother-in-law when she didn't have to.
No.
Back to a land that was not her own with a God that was not her own.
Exactly.
And yet this incredible provision in mm-hmm. Boaz comes to them. And ultimately, the Messiah, which she didn't even know.
No, no. I mean, it's this beautiful picture. Mm-hmm. And yet, and at the end, we have this thread that wanders through the scripture till it points to the Savior. And I just love that because this is a Savior I can identify with mm-hmm. because he identified with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't stay above our pain. He came right down and he entered into it. And I just love that. I love that. And I think it's one of the things that keeps I keep coming back to over and over again when I read the scripture in my desert times.
Mm-hmm.
My Savior knows me.
Our Savior knows us.
Mm-hmm.
Val, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the initiative on these blog posts, for contacting us, for saying, I have an idea, for taking that risk, for mm-hmm. being so vulnerable to share about your desert experience and to recognize that we as women, we as a community of believers, followers of Christ, have dry times, raging times, and learning how to struggle through those valiantly, beautifully, imperfectly, relying on the Lord is a testimony to so many women. Yeah. So,
and loving people well.
Tell us more about that. How do we love people well during their desert time, especially when we are all so different? Yeah. We're so different. We're going to experience things differently. How do we love people well in their desert?
Well, I think Ruth gives us, again, another good example of how to love someone well. You know, when people are in their dry seasons, they can be really kind of draining, right? You know, I mean, I know I'm draining, and we don't like that about ourselves, but Ruth does a really good job of just letting Naomi kind of rage a little bit. She does what she needs to do, and she doesn't try to fix Naomi. She just lets her be. She just serves her well. She sits quietly and just allows Naomi to just have a presence. And, you know, sometimes I imagine what their evenings would have been like in their home. And, you know, Naomi maybe crying in the corner. And Ruth probably crying as well. But together they were able to bring together this beautiful picture of Ruth going out and bringing food to Naomi. And she's listening to Naomi and she's interacting with Naomi. And I think at the end of the book it says, "You have a daughter-in-law that's worth 7 sons. Somebody makes that statement. You have a daughter-in-law that's worth 7 sons. A daughter-in-law, not even a daughter, you know. And, you know, she really, 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 like, steps up. And it doesn't mean that we always have to, we shouldn't actually fix people. We shouldn't fix people. Sometimes we just need to let them be in their moment and love them well in that moment and not let them drain us. Not taking on their drama, but just sometimes just kind of sitting there and going, it's okay. I'm with you. God's with you. We're going to sit here and we're going to be okay. We're going to look at your pain. Because some people's pain has to, they want to be known. They want to be looked at. They don't want to be swept under the rug. And sometimes in our churches, we have a tendency to go, well, the Lord's got this. It's okay. It's okay. God's got this. That's great. He does have it. But sometimes you need to cry.
And I love that because we can be Ruth to each other.
Yeah.
It's going to
yeah.
look a little bit different in every relationship. I have a dear, dear friend. And when I have my desert experiences, I isolate less. I'm more of I rage, but I am a talker. So I will tell people what I'm going through and I will seek out help. And when I had a friend who I loved like a sister and she isolates during her hard times and I didn't understand it. And so at one point I had to ask her, what do you need from me?
Yeah, exactly.
And she said, when I'm having these experiences, call me. I might not answer the phone and I might not text back right away, but I do need to know that you're there.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's how we love each other too. We don't become doormats and you know, be everything to everyone all the time, but I think it shows love when we have these different friendships, different relationships, different women, and we can ask them, how can I love you best?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you need from me?
Yeah.
And Ruth knew that she needed to go with Naomi. It's such a beautiful picture of a mother-daughter relationship, a sisterhood.
Yes.
How we live in community with one another. So I heard you say a few things, and I'm just going to recap. when we're going through our desert experiences, we can believe that they come to an end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not going to last forever. We just rest in the Lord, stick to His word.
Yeah.
Seek the word even when we don't feel like it. Talk to people, even though it might be hard to choose if you treasured, trusted.
Yeah, important part there.
Friends and perhaps even a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to somebody that you trust.
Yeah.
Give words.
Yeah.
To the feelings.
Yeah.
And enter into that community that we are called to be. You know, it's one of the reasons we called Arise Ministries a collective. None of us were meant to do this on our own.
No. No. Jesus had disciples, right? He brought people together, and we as a church should support each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tim Keller says that we're not people who are going to a doctor because we're well. We're going to a doctor because we're sick.
Mm.
And God's our, you know, ultimate physician.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at each other and go, we're all broken.
We're all broken.
We're all broken.
We might look really great and even feel really great a lot of the time. And we do have that great physician, the potter. He does mend those cracks.
He does.
We can absolutely, by the name of Jesus and the strength of the Holy Spirit, we can be whole people.
Yes.
But there is brokenness as well in all of us.
So. And we have to accept that amongst ourselves. We have to go into our relationships knowing that that brokenness is there and love each other through the blood of Jesus, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for being someone who loves well.
Thank you.
Who took the time to be vulnerable today. And we just appreciate everyone who has responded to these posts, who has responded privately, just telling us what some of their deserts have been and saying that these have encouraged them. And our prayer is that this podcast today would encourage you in whatever season you're in. Thank you for listening from Arise Ministries Collective, and thank you for being here, Val Hooks.
Thank you.